It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Delighted that you are with us. Don Bailey Jr. also with us tonight. Alex Mirabal, University of Miami assistant head coach and offensive line coach, also joins the show. 1 hour of Hurricanes football here tonight with DBJ. Spring football underway. Spring game is on April the 12th on campus at the University of Miami. So we'll talk more about that. But the Canes have been back. This is, I think, week three of spring football. Good evening, DBJ. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Getting a lot of information out there at practice the last couple of weeks. This is a team that's getting better and better every day.
Okay, let's go to that right now. What jumps out at you over the last week or so since we last spoke?
Well, you know what, Joe? The thing that keeps overwhelming me, I was at practice today, and Casey Jones was out there as well. In my opinion, one of the best players to ever play at Miami, and a former center and offensive lineman. We're standing there talking and watching the offensive line and Coach Mirabal's group, and just how enormous this football team is. And if you go back to when Coach Cristobal came in and, you know, he talked about having the right size players and the right type of athletes, and he has kept his promise. I would say that if they were a large team when he got here, they're extra large or on their way to double extra large. So, I mean, he's taken this whole team and the physicality very, very serious and just putting a different type of product out on that field.
That's good because I think big wins, you know, my spiel for many years was they were too small. I want to run this by you since Alex Mirabal is our guest tonight on the show. And I was thinking about this for the University of Miami, be right in your wheelhouse and Coach Cristobal's wheelhouse, offensive line coaches for the University of Miami. Now, I'm not going to tell you to, you know, put you in a position of, you know, who is the best and all that stuff. But I'm going to run through these guys in no particular order, and then we'll have a discussion from there. You ready? Here's what I've come up with. And it's a pretty good list. The offensive line position, that coaching the offensive line position over the last 30 years has been pretty spectacular. Okay, you ready? Your coach, Kim Helton. Pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Went on to Tampa Bay, I believe. All right. Didn't Harold Allen coach the offensive line?
The Oilers, the Raiders, and the head coach at the University of Houston.
That's right. Went on to become a head coach many years in the NFL. How about Harold Allen? Was he on the offensive line?
D-line, Joseph.
He was the D-line. Okay, cross him off my list. Tony Wise, great coach. Dallas Cowboys.
Multiple Super Bowls. Yeah.
Multiple. Art Kehoe.
5 championship rings.
Dennis Erickson brought with him Greg Smith. Went on to he coached in the NFL with Dennis.
He sure did, and he won 2 national championships here at Miami.
Okay, Randy Shannon's offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland, considered right now the best offensive line coach in the NFL.
And he also, when he left Miami, I believe he went to Alabama. And won a couple national championships there.
The experts talk about him as being an NFL Hall of Famer as an offensive line coach. All right. Ready for this one? He's coaching with the Dolphins right now. Was with the University of Miami, Butch Berry.
Butch Berry did a nice job here. He wasn't here very long, Joe. I think he left here and then went to San Francisco and then found his way back to the Miami Dolphins, but has had a very good NFL career as well.
Okay, this guy left the University of Miami, went on to win a national championship, Stacy Searles.
Yeah, well, Stacy, I believe he was at LSU, won a national championship there, was at Virginia Tech, was at Georgia. This is his second time around at Georgia, and he's won a couple championships there, and he did a real good job here. He was around my era. He was a little younger than me, Joe. He played at Auburn, but has done very, very well in the college game.
Most recently, a guy climbing the ladder has done well. Garen Justice is at SMU. Of course, they made the playoffs.
They sure did. And Garen's name actually was he was in the running or being considered for the Florida Atlantic University job just this year. So, you know, he's a well-known coach and did a heck of a job here with Coach Lashley and is doing fantastic at SMU.
It's funny because I think it's fair to say that South Florida doesn't produce great offensive linemen. Now, I know people can jump in and say, okay, there was this guy and that guy. But overall, you think of offensive linemen as Northeast, Midwest. That being said, this list is a pretty darn good list. And then we add Alex Mirabal to that list.
Well, I'll say this to you about Alex. And I know every one of those guys that you mentioned, I know personally. And I appreciate every one of them's ability to coach. And I'll say this, there are elite coaches that you mentioned, and Alex Mirabal is an elite coach. I don't know how you pick and choose who was the best one or who. I can tell you that every one of those coaches that you talked about were very, very special guys and unique in their own way, but Alex Mirabal is as good as anybody that's ever come through the doors at the University of Miami. And you forget that head coach at the University of Miami, Joe, coached that offensive line a little bit too now. Right? Coach Cristobal.
Coach Cristobal, that's right. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. No, that's a good question. I think he was in charge of the tight ends at the time.
You know what? He might have been tight ends and then went from tight ends to offensive line at Alabama.
Yeah. Right.
That's what that was.
Definitely, yeah. But – this is, I think it's pretty intriguing. The guys that have come through, the coach, offensive line, he probably could do this with other position coaches as well. But the reason I bring it up is because we're going to hear from Alex Mirabal in just a couple of minutes. And right in your wheelhouse as former center and a team captain with the University of Miami. So let's dive into the offensive line for a moment. You talked about the size of the team. There's going to be a new quarterback this year. He's going to be behind, I think, a pretty good line.
Yeah, he will. And, you know, Brockenmeyer, the center that they picked up is Miami's been very unique at the center spot the last 3 years. And they went to the portal, and they have just hit a home run each and every year. And James Brockenmeyer, his dad played in the league about 9 years. He's a twin. His brother retired from the game because of injury. And Brock was at Alabama and then transferred again and came into Miami, and he is he's special. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's really a combination, in my opinion, of how he plays the game of the last two guys. But he is a great addition for Miami and brings a lot of football IQ and a lot of experience. And they really hit a home run with him at center.
How much of the work that he can get done right now with Carson Beck, or what can they get done? How important is that relationship?
Well, as soon as, you know, Carson Beck can throw, it'll really start to take off. And, you know, I don't know what the situation is now with him taking snaps, but when the time comes, the thing about Carson Beck is, you know, last year we were almost exclusively in the shotgun with Cam Ward, and wisely, they put him under center about once out of every five snaps during pro day to show the NFL that he could go under center. But you've got Carson Beck, who spent a lot of time under center at Georgia. So the people that are going to be game planning Miami on what they did last year, you're going to have a whole nother look with Beck since he takes the snap and also he's in shotgun as well. So it's going to give him a different look.
We go from what has jumped out to you to we go from what has jumped out in spring ball to who are you excited to see? And I will tell you, I'm excited to see this year Jordan Lyle, because I have in my mind him running down the sidelines 99 yards for a touchdown. I have in my mind the big plays that he brought to the University of Miami, and I think that home run hitter is still something that they especially need.
You're on it, Joe. He is a guy to pick. He's had a very good spring. He's made some big runs. He had a real good day Saturday. But, I mean, he's gotten bigger, and he's picked up a little speed and some power. and he understands the game now. I mean, you know, everybody thinks that a high school freshman at a specialty position can come in and play and be an impact. Well, they can play and they can have impact during certain games, but he's a whole different guy than he was just a year ago. And I expect him to be, you know, top shelf and have a 1,000-yard season. I really do. Or he's going to have a bunch of touches. And I like Elijah Lofton, number 9, Joe. I just, this guy showed up last year from Vegas, Bishop Gorman, and was on special teams and made a play. Made plays catching the football, made plays running the football, made plays blocking. And, you know, the thing about him is he just can line up anywhere, and he's effective. And he's getting better and better and better. And I think that we're going to call his name quite a bit, and he's a huge impact player on the offensive side of Miami. And you know, defensively, you know, how do you not look at Mezidor and Bain? You know, I think both of those guys are really going to have a fantastic year this year.
It's funny you mentioned Lofton because what I remember about him from a year ago, where we got the touchdown late in the season on the ground, he ran it in. Then the bowl game against Iowa State, he had a catch or two, but there was a play against Iowa State. It resulted in a penalty, but he got down the field in a hurry, and they had no other choice other than to mug him, and he damn near still caught the ball. But it was the speed that is burned into my mind about the way that he was able to get down the middle of the field.
Well, he's got, you picked up on it, and he's got plenty of speed, but he is so powerful, and he's probably 6'1", 6'1 and a half. I don't think he's much more than that, and he's probably 240, 243 pounds, Joe, but he's conditioned, and he's strong, and the thing that we're going to notice is that, you know, where he can line up and how that affects the defense, who's going to cover him? And they're just going to have to manufacture ways to get him to touch the football.
Okay, Alex Mirabal comes up next on the show with Don Bailey Jr. as we're talking Hurricanes football. I've got a home run hitter for you. It's Ed Williamson and Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership founded over 50 years ago. You want to hit a home run in the purchasing an automobile? It is Ed Williamson. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. I'm driving the XT4 right now. It delivers. It has the wow factor, turbocharged engine, great acceleration, fuel efficiency, all of those things. It will surpass your expectations, as will the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the new all-electric Lyriq. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac, you go to Williamson Cadillac. You see Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, or Jermaine Chambers, or the general manager Jeff Rogers, or you need anything done when you're there, you ask for Reggie. Reggie gets it all done for you. Williamson Cadillac, your luxury dealership, easy to find on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, I'm with assistant head coach and offensive line coach Alex Mirabal. And coach, we're about halfway through spring at this time. How's the team progressing overall?
You know what, I think the team is doing a really good job of working on the little things that are the difference in the margin of winning and losing. And that's been a big focus of us in the offseason, of doing a lot of the invisible things, a lot of the things that to the naked eye the fans might not see, but that as a coach you notice can turn a 4-yard gain into a 6-yard gain, can turn opposite the same thing if the defense, if offensive guy breaks into the second level, that stop makes it an 8-yard run instead of a 28-yard run. You know, so we're focusing on that. We're focusing on just a simple transition of changing personnel groups and making sure we have 11 on each side, right? Which nobody ever notices until they notice it, right? So, and, you know, the penalties and, you know, making sure that we're not hurting ourselves, making sure that, that we're keeping the winning on our side.
Offensive center for third year in a row, James Brockemeyer comes in. He is a big player, does extremely well so far. What attracted you to him and what does he bring to this offensive line?
You know what, James, his preparation, his toughness, his willingness to lead, you know, his willingness to lead, you know, despite the fact it's a pretty daunting thing, right? You come into a room and you're the only new veteran coming into a room and having to earn the respect of CeCe, of Inez, of McCoy, of Ryan, of Markel, of Samson, of Bruno. How do you do that? Well, you do that through your preparation. You do that. That's how you gain their trust, right? And he's done an unbelievable job of putting that on tape. And then not only that, but again, doing the invisible stuff, doing the stuff that people don't see after practice, of coming up immediately after practice and finding out, okay, why did I leave? What caused that pressure inside during practice? Was it me? What can I do better? So he's very critical of himself, right? Without beating himself up. But he's really critical of himself, and he's always critiquing himself on ways that he can do better instead of, you know, he's not trying to defend himself. He's not trying to lawyer himself out of something. He's trying to find out what could he have done better. But he's tough, comes from a football family. You know, his dad was a first-round pick of the Carolina Panthers. He's had two brothers who've played in college, and him. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he's awesome, and he's going to be tremendous for this room.
You know, Coach, last year someone asked me, who's your favorite, one of your favorite football players on this team? I would have said Inez Cooper, just because of the way he plays the game. And he's upped at another level. I think he flies so far under the radar. People don't recognize him during a football game, but he's just a very good football player, but he brings a lot of intensity.
You know what he does? He's the heart and the spirit of our offense. And it permeates to the team as well. And there's a guy that, again, I know I keep talking about it, does a lot of the invisible stuff. There's a lot of the stuff that to the naked eye people don't see. I know he's having a phenomenal spring camp. You know, I put it up there with anybody else on the whole team of his performance level. And he's a guy that, you know, he's winning his one-on-one battles. And he's also a glue guy. You know, he's one of those guys that makes Mauinoa better. He makes Brockermeyer better. He makes Emery Williams better. He makes Blay better across the football from him. He makes Blount better across the football from him. Scott better across the football from him. So he's just a guy who makes others around him better. And I'm very, very proud of the progress that he's made. I'm also very proud of the progress that he's made just as a human being. You know, just from where he came when he first got here, you know, was a guy who was pretty introverted, was a guy that, you know, really didn't communicate a lot with others because, you know, he had certain trust issues. But he's a guy who's fully embraced our program and has blossomed as a student, has blossomed as a person, and has blossomed as a football player. And he's just a darn good football player. You know, he gets overlooked by a lot of guys, and that's fine. But he's a darn good football player who's going to play for a long time.
Coach Shannon Dawson, now we're in year three with him as offensive coordinator, and the value of stacking year one on two and then two on three and how it has helped the overall offense having him around.
Yeah, you know, it's nice because Shannon is into his third season here. Mm-hmm. I'm into the third season with him in the same offense. Coach Woodall is into the third season, same offense with him. Kevin Beard, KB, is into his third season. Matt Merritt's into his second season. So you're talking about not only is he into his third season, but so are most of us with him. A lot of our analysts are into our third season. So instead of starting on square one, you know, like you have to a lot of times in this profession, because you get new guys in, we're able to build upon, right, what we've done. We're able to expand our offensive system and tweak it and do it really fast because of us being together, right? So it's kind of like Mauinoa and Cooper. Sometimes they communicate without saying a word because they've been together now going on 3.5 seasons, right? Well, it's the same with us, right? Where I'll tell him something, or he'll tell me something, and we both have been thinking about it, you know? So it allows us to just, how can we tweak and make our offense better than what it is, you know? And so it's awesome. So, you know, instead of having to teach other coaches, hey, this is how we do things, this is how we call things, right? We get to skip all those steps, and we built off where we left off at the bowl game instead of starting from scratch, if that makes sense, right? And it obviously helps with our teachings of the players and stuff like that. So I'm not saying the offense is going to be as explosive as last year. Obviously, we hope it is. I'm not saying we're going to score as many points as we did last year. Obviously, we hope it is. But we're trying to make our offense better than what it was, and it might be in different types of ways.
Give us your description of Coach Heatherman, the new defensive coordinator, and his style of defense.
Meat and potatoes, tough, teacher, holds them accountable, is on our best players more than he is on. So he holds our best players to the highest of standards, right? And they're doing a great job of playing technique. They're doing a great job of running to the football. And I just think he's a no-frills kind of guy. You know, he's a no-frills kind of guy. He's, hey, line up, and I got to beat you in my base, right? Before I put sprinkles on it, I got to beat you in just vanilla and chocolate, you know? Vanilla and chocolate, and we'll taste all the other cute flavors later. So it's just, and that's what he's doing. And you could tell that those kids are learning to play in that defense, and they're thriving it, and they're making it hard on us on offense, which is awesome. They're playing really good tight coverage in the back end, and up front they're playing real thick technique, so they're making us having to work for every yard, which is great because iron sharpens iron, and he's done a great job of fitting in. I think he also, here's another thing, I think he fits in really well with Coach Cristobal's personality and the personality of our offense.
I want to wish you a happy birthday also, Coach. Can't forget that this week.
No, I'm only 55 years old, so I've had a blessed. I'm blessed. I'm humbled, and it's been awesome, and I'm looking forward to, I hope my 55th year is better than the other 54.
There you go. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, and go Canes.
All right, Don Bailey Jr., Alex Mirabal, University of Miami offensive line coach. Great insight into the University of Miami offensive line as we are actually past the halfway point of spring ball, the spring game, a week from Saturday, April the 12th, on campus at the University of Miami. When we come back, we'll talk more about Hurricanes football. Might even slide in some Final Four talk as well as we continue on the show. Trevor Harris is our producer. DBJ Reed joins us as we continue right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Back on the show. Happy to welcome you back. Joe Z, Don Bailey Jr. Very thoughtful interview. Always thoughtful. With Coach Mirabal. We talked about him earlier, Don. You talked about him as a coach, and I think one of the great things about him is his roots are as a teacher, and he does a great job of communicating and connecting with his players.
You know, John, I'm very fortunate to be able to sit in on his meetings on a very consistent basis. And, you know, originally, I would go in there, of course, looking for valuable information in football, but I find myself mesmerized by what a phenomenal instructor he is and how he is able to handle the room and handle, you know, 15 or 18 different personalities from different parts of the country at different stages in their career. And he is just an amazing instructor. And he blends everything together in a fashion to where he incorporates the entire room. He incorporates everybody from, you know, who's considered the best guy to the ones that have to keep working to try and get on the plane. And he just never gives up on anybody. And he's really one of the best. He's really one of the best teachers that I've ever seen in my life. And I think it's just, it's an amazing feat on how he what he has accomplished from his days in high school to getting an opportunity at FIU. And, you know, he was at Marshall and he was at Oregon, and he's back home where he belongs here at Miami. But just an amazing man who's just a great, great, great talent.
We talked in our first segment about who jumps out at you. Yeah, it's hard not to notice that wide receiver, the freshman Moore. He's a big kid. There have been lots of predictions about him scoring lots of touchdowns because he'll be a very good red zone threat. I imagine he's got a lot to learn, but he does jump out at you, that's for sure.
No, he really does, Joe. And, you know, I was at practice this morning, and I was fortunate enough to run into Mark Trestman, who was a coach on the staff when I was there and helped Coach Schnellenberger win his first national championship. And, you know, Coach Trestman's coached, you know, he's still coaching in the NFL, and he's a guy that coached from, you know, college through Canada, through the NFL and everything in between.
He was the Vince Lombardi of Canadian football.
I know it. He was exactly right. And, you know, one of the comments that he made today was, my goodness, this receiving core is pretty special. And I just hope these young men continue to develop and they understand that week one, it's the real McCoy. You know, there's no tomorrow once that kickoff comes against Notre Dame. It's the real deal, and they're all working hard at it, but it's a talented room. And Coach Cristobal has done a great job recruiting it, and they've done a nice job coaching everybody. And you're starting to see the skill level start to shine. You know, there was a lot of talent there last year, and they had a quarterback that could chuck it around pretty good and get it to a bunch of different people. But it's going to be interesting, and I think this receiving core takes some people by surprise.
You know that Mark Trestman was my analyst before you on a couple of games.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
He was. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
We did a couple of Blockbuster Bowls.
Right,
remember the Blockbuster Bowl?
Of course.
Well, the Blockbuster Bowl was the
Virginia, didn't we?
Bowl. Pardon?
Yeah. I think we played Virginia in that game, didn't we?
Well, Miami did, but the game we did a West Virginia-South Carolina game together.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
In
wow.
Fact, I hired Mark Trestman to do a segment with Hank Goldberg on Monday.
That I do remember.
And then he got hired by the 49ers.
That's right. That's right.
I've always taken credit for that.
Well, you should. Yeah, I'm sure he'd let you take credit. I'm sure he'd let you take credit for it. But, you know, the thing about him is that he's just always had a great football IQ and been an academician and the whole deal. I mean, he's the complete package. I appreciate the heck out of him.
Let's bounce around the ACC a little bit. Well, we're going to play him this year at Stanford. They fired their coach, and then they hired Frank Reich to be the coach for 1 year.
Yeah, a little confusing on a one-year hire, right?
Yeah.
I think that might be – I don't know if Coach Reich wasn't the one that said, well, I'll give you a year, let's see what happens, instead of it being Stanford saying, we're going to give you a year. I think maybe we got it twisted, because that sure doesn't sound right to me. But
yeah,
it's strange, but college football is strange now.
I heard Dabo Swinney talking about his spring. His big question mark is at running back. They lost Moffa, the big guy. I really liked him a lot. He's had some great running backs. But they also added, this has been a wild off season for defensive coordinators. Tom Allen left Penn State and went to Clemson.
Yep. Yeah. And then the Ohio State guy is the one that went over to Penn State, right?
He went to Penn State, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
they talk about the players in the portal. How about the coaches?
Yeah, well, crazy thing still is, some of these players are making more than these coordinators. So it's just who knows what that circle is going to bring. But, you know, it's Clemson's a pretty special spot. You know, Dabo Swinney has taken some heat the last couple years about not venturing into the portal. He seems to be dipping his toe into it a little more. And, you know, he's had he had the staff that won all those games, and he held everybody together. And then he started losing staff members to be head coaches and, you know, position coaches to coordinators. And that's what happens when you win. But they have they've been very, very stable, and, you know, they're a good football team, man. I mean, they really are. And you got to give them credit for what they've accomplished. But there's the people down here in Miami are knocking on that door, and you got to remember now, Emory Williams, Joe. That was a 2 years ago. That's all it was 2 years ago that Emory beat Clemson at home, and that was a pretty good ball game, and that was a big victory for Emory.
Florida State, complete overhaul there. Thomas Castellanos, who we saw 2 years ago at Boston College, I guess is the favorite to be their quarterback.
Yeah, they wouldn't have gone out and done what they did to get him here, and, you know, to get him into Tallahassee. And I think they're hoping that, you know, there's the athleticism and his ability, because we watched him. You know, he probably ran a little bit better than he threw, you know, when we saw him a couple years ago. At least that's the scouting report that we had on him. But he's an exciting quarterback, and, you know, they just, with DJ, they just couldn't get the accuracy, and the touchdown to interception ratio was off. And, you know, they really struggled with him last year. So I would be shocked if Castellano isn't the starting quarterback, you know, especially week one.
Not in the ACC, but Miami's first opponent is Notre Dame, coming off the longest football season in the history of Notre Dame. They played 16 games. I wonder about that. They played 16 games and had like a month off, and then they're back into spring football, and probably their biggest area in the spring will be, you know, it's funny. I think it's going to be, one, who's going to be their starting quarterback when they play Miami? And then, two, they've got a very talented offensive line that got injured during the course of last season. And will there be a hangover for them playing in the championship game, or from playing in the championship game?
Well, we will see the side effects of a 16-game season in regards to college football with Notre Dame. I hope they're hungover as hell, Joe. I hope they're beat up. I hope they're tired. I hope they're dreading football. But I just don't think that'll happen. You know, I think that you've got to understand nowadays they do such a good job with nutrition and rest, and everything is monitored. So they'll do everything they can to rebuild that. But, you know, they've got to find themselves a quarterback. And then they lost Al Golden, who put one heck of a defense on the field, a championship defense. They lost him to the National Football League, so that was some big shoes to fill. But, you know, you got a new defensive coordinator there, and you're going to have a new quarterback, and you mentioned some injuries on the offensive line. But Notre Dame has never had a problem recruiting, and I would say through history, at least my history, you know, that they've always been somewhat of a reload program. And it'll be interesting to see how that the game turns out. That's going to be as big a game as there will be in college football week zero.
Chris Ash is their new defensive coordinator, who was the head coach at Rutgers. Then he went to Ohio State. Now he's at Notre Dame, and their strength, this will be fun because we've talked about the size of Miami and Miami's offensive line. That's going to be the strength for Notre Dame. Probably is going to be the size of their defensive line.
Yeah, it's going to be trench warfare at its best. And, you know, they're Miami's at practice. They're always, you know, they're already bringing that up. You know, what you do today is going to have an impact on how you play week one against Notre Dame. And you have to realize you're walking into contest number one against the runner up of the national championship game. And everybody's going to say, well, the rosters are different, and there's coaching changes on both sides of the football. I mean, both sides are going to have new defensive coordinators. Both sides are going to have guys that have been influenced by Schiano. You know, there's going to be a lot of studying going into week one. But I still think, Joe, you got to line up, you got to play, and as Miami's going to have a new personality in 2025, so will Notre Dame.
I should mention, we touched on Clemson. They open with LSU. So it's Death Valley going to Death Valley. They open with LSU at home. That'll be fun. The other intriguing, another intriguing storyline this spring, which we haven't touched on, and I find it very interesting to see. I'm going to be very interested to see how this plays out, but it's Bill Belichick in North Carolina.
Yeah, I know this much. He can coach, right? There's not going to be any question about organization. There's not going to be any question about his ability to put a game plan together. There's not going to be any of those issues. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the reports come out of spring and how, if you get any, or how they come out of fall. But he's a guy that is absolutely going to be watched by all of college football. And, you know, he's no spring chicken, even though he likes to hang around spring chickens, but he's a guy that just, you know, I'm interested to watch it, you know, and I just have not seen really the recruiting breakthrough that I think a lot of people thought was going to happen by Bill Belichick being the head coach at North Carolina.
Think about this for a moment. Six-time Super Bowl winning head coach.
Yeah.
Now a college head coach. You know why I think he's at North Carolina?
Go ahead.
I think the NFL blackballed him. I don't think they wanted him to be the all-time winningest coach over Don Shula.
Well, if that's the case, I'm happy for Coach Shula because we all love him down here. But, I mean, you can't take anything away.
Too much baggage. I mean, there are too many questions about the way he won. There were never any questions about the way Coach Shula won. I think the NFL privately just blackballed him.
Yeah, you talk to enough people, I could see how you could come up with that. And especially, you know, it's like his name wasn't up for every single job either. You know, I mean, I don't understand that. I really don't. I live in a house with a wife that's a New York Jet through and through, so she's not gonna root for the Patriots ever. And then we're Dolphins number two. I get it, but I just respect it on how much he won and how he did it. And you know, everybody says it was him, or was it Brady, or was it this, or was it that? I don't know. He's working on two handfuls of rings, and I think that's pretty impressive. But he's going to be the story, Joe, of all of college football this year. At least in the month of September. And, you know, the question to me is if you're being recruited by North Carolina and you're a parent of a student athlete that's getting recruited there, and you ask one question, if my son's here 5 years, can you be here? Or can you promise me you're going to be here? We're coming here for you. And my son's career can last 5 years. Does that mean you're going to be here? And I don't know how he can look somebody in the face and promise that.
Okay, we've got like 90 seconds left. So all you have to do is pick a winner. I'll do the other stuff here. Final four, Auburn and Florida. I already know who you're going to pick because Florida, so we can't pick Florida. But they are 34-4. Florida, you talk about size. You've got a very big team, tough to score on them because of their size around the rim. Auburn, the overall number one seed, 32-5. Final four prediction in that game, Don Bailey is who?
I can't go with the Gator. I don't care who they got, Joe. It's the War Eagle. Me and Charles Barkley are going with the War Eagle.
Okay, Duke plays Houston. The University of Miami played Houston in the Sweet 16 a couple of years ago, and they have the same theory. They rebound. Sometimes their best shot is a missed shot. They get points off of turnovers. They offensive rebound. They play Duke, probably the best Duke team I've seen in a long time. Thing I love about Duke is, and I don't love a lot about Duke, is the way they defend. And the reason I bring it up, when they play the University of Miami, especially in the game here at the Wasco Center, they defended like their life was at stake, which meant to me it didn't matter that the University of Miami wasn't very good this year. They did not go down to the level of their competition. They set a standard, and they play to it. Therefore, I pick Duke.
I do too, Joe. I had the chance to go down and watch that ball game as well, and I wanted to see Duke. I wanted to see what that team looked like, and boy, were they impressed. So I would go with Duke as well. So I'm gonna go with Duke and Auburn.
Okay, we'll see how good we were next week on the show. We are back next Tuesday after the championship game. I'll say Duke cuts the Nets down, and they win the national championship. The spoil, the SEC dominating season. All right, so we'll talk next Tuesday night.
Okay, Joseph, have a great week.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr. Our producer has been Trevor Harris. Thanks for joining us, and stay tuned. Hockey's coming up next.